Where do you go when you want to know what's new to do and who is who?
Studio Classroom is the place to be.
Come along and you will see, connecting is the thing to do. Give your life a different view.
You can learn and you can share with people living everywhere.
Studio Classroom, the place to learn.
The place to grow.
Stay tuned and watch the show.
Hi everyone and welcome to Studio Classroom. My name is Gabe.
And my name is Carolyn.
And thank you for joining us for the second day of our lesson about food inventions. We've already talked about some innovations that have helped us in the kitchen to make the process of eating a safer process. And also, we have more to learn today. But I do wonder about what kinds of things you have in your kitchen. Maybe something you think is strange. What's a strange kitchen tool or invention that you have seen, Carolyn?
Well, I don't know how strange it is, but I do think it's very neat and very useful. It's a pineapple slicer. Mm-hmm. You cut off the top of the pineapple with a knife, and then you take this long metal tube and you twist it into the pineapple and then pull it out, and it gives you beautiful sliced rings of pineapple.
That is one great way to cut your pineapples. Makes it easier on you. Something my mom used to have was an apple slicer. You would put the apple on one end into this apple slicer and then rotate the other end, and it would just slice the skin off. Or I guess it was an apple peeler. It would peel the skin off. That way you could just eat the meat of the apple. Very interesting inventions. Well, we're going to learn about more today in our lesson, so I hope you have your magazine open. Let's get started.
Food inventions. An emphasis on convenience. The egg carton. Back in 1911, an argument in British Columbia, Canada, led to a useful invention. Eggs shipped by a local farmer to a hotel owner often arrived broken, and each blamed the other for the damage. To solve the problem, Canadian newspaperman Joseph Coyle designed a paper carton with small, hollowed-out spaces that cushioned the eggs and kept them separated. Coyle's invention was so successful that we still use a variation of it today.
Hello, friends. This is your Word Lady, Ellen. Can you imagine trying to cut a piece of meat without a knife? Today, we are on day two of our inventions article. We'll learn about some more important inventions that have completely bettered our lives. Before we begin, let's take a look at the vocabulary. Carton. Carton is a noun. Today, a carton of eggs is much more expensive than it was 5 years ago. Variation. Variation is a noun. Helene is a variation of the name Helen. Reliance. Reliance is a noun. Doing things for yourself and not playing total reliance on your parents helps you mature. Indispensable. Indispensable is an adjective. Having worked on this project for 2 years, Patricia is an indispensable part of this team. Your more information words are chisel. Chisel is a noun. Flint. Flint is a noun. Sounds interesting. Let's learn more in the article.
The title of this section really is an emphasis on convenience. And it's kind of interesting. It says a lot about the day in which we live. People want things that are easy and convenient. Do you find this to be true, Carolyn?
I do think that this is very true. We always are looking for ways to make things easier and more convenient. If things are easily accessible, if we can do things easily and find them faster, we are very happy with it.
That's right. So there is an emphasis on convenience when people are inventing things. The first thing we talk about here is the egg carton. All right, the egg carton. You might see an egg carton in a supermarket. It's full of eggs, maybe 6 or a dozen eggs in an egg carton. Let's look at that key word. It is Carton. What is a carton, Carolyn?
Well, a carton is a type of container or box that you put something in. And usually I think of an egg carton or even a milk carton. It's now mostly made out of a type of board, a very hard-pressed paper, and you can put liquids in it or keep your eggs safe in it.
All right, so cartons could come in different shapes and sizes. An egg carton looks much different than a milk carton. That's the container that milk is in. So try to use that word today, carton. Well, we're learning about the egg carton. It says back in 1911, an argument in British Columbia, Canada, led to a useful invention. I love when that happens. Arguments can be good.
It's true. And we see that back in 1911, this is a great way to start a sentence to say back in some period of time. Mm-hmm. If you say back in, then it's probably a long time ago. So you might say back in my grandparents' day, they didn't really have a car.
Back in the 80s, I was born. There are different ways to use that phrase, back in. So something a long time ago. Well, we continue with our lesson. Eggs shipped by a local farmer to a hotel owner often arrived broken, and each blamed the other for the damage. Well, I guess that would seem like an argument, Carolyn. I mean, if people are just blaming each other.
That's right. If they have broken eggs, no one wants to take the blame for it. Oh, the person who is delivering them broke the eggs. Mm-hmm. No, it's because the hotel is too far away. So I'm sure that they had a big argument over who was responsible for these broken eggs. Fortunately, there was a solution. To solve the problem, Canadian newspaperman Joseph Coyle designed a paper carton with small, hollowed-out spaces that cushioned the eggs and kept them separated.
Ah, that genius Joseph Coyle. He was a Canadian newspaperman. Wouldn't you know, a newspaperman invented the egg carton. That's great. So this kind of tells me that no matter what you're doing, maybe you can have an idea that could help many people.
That's very true. It doesn't matter what your job is. You can still invent something that is very helpful or useful. And we see that what he did was make something to keep the eggs separated and to cushion them or support them and keep them safe so that they didn't break. How does the article continue, Gabe?
Well, Coyle's invention was so successful that we still use a variation of it today. All right, let's take a look at that word, variation. A variation means a kind. So it's not exactly like the original, it is a variation. So how might you use that word?
Well, it does mean that some changes have been made to it. Mm-hmm. It was originally made this way, and we've changed it a little bit, but it's still about the same. So the egg carton was made out of a paper carton. So before it was paper, now we have things that are more like foam or more like cardboard, a little bit of a harder material.
That's right. It's a variation. I also think of cars today. They are a variation of the original cars. Of course, you might still see that car, but we don't drive those kinds of cars anymore. We have much more conveniently made cars today. Easier to drive, but they are a variation of the original. Well, I like this word in another sentence here. It is cushion. This makes me think of a pillow. What can you tell me about a cushion, Carolyn?
Well, a cushion, I usually think of something that you might sit on a couch. It's something that supports you and is very comfortable. You feel very relaxed when you're sitting on a cushion, or you can cushion your head when you lay on a pillow. So it can be a noun or a verb.
That's right. Well, we have more to learn after our break, but right now it's time for us to visit Michelle and the Language Lab.
Hi, 大家好，我是 Michelle。今天的第一个重点，我们来看 carton 这个名词。Carton 是指用来装食物或饮料的纸盒。例如 ，There is no space in the refrigerator for this carton of orange juice。冰箱里没有空间放这盒柳橙汁。或者是 The boy drank a whole carton of milk the minute he came home。这个男孩一回家就把一整盒牛奶都喝光了。 继续我们看的是 variation 这个名词 ,var 这个字根有不同的意思。所以 variation 在这里是指变化体。例如 ,this salad is a variation of a traditional Caesar salad. 这道沙拉是传统的凯撒沙拉的变化体。variation 也指变化或者是差异。这个时候是不可数名词。例如 ,the research showed a wide variation in the performance of rural and suburban kids.研究报告显示乡村和城市市郊的孩子的表现有很大的差异。
Today we are talking about kitchen inventions that make our lives more convenient. It is so much easier now that we have an egg carton. We don't have to worry about our eggs breaking on the way to the store or when we take them home with us. And we found that back in 1911, there was an argument in Canada between two men, and it ended up with the invention of the egg carton. Well, we have two more great kitchen inventions we want to talk about in the next part of our lesson. Let's do that now.
Food inventions. The can. In 1810, London resident Peter Durand invented metal cans that would hold and preserve food for long periods of time. The only problem was...that people had to use a hammer and chisel to open them. Amazingly, it took another 50 years before the can opener was invented by Ezra Warner. The knife. Many believe the knife is mankind's oldest tool, with the earliest forms made from flint or a glass-like rock, and then from metal around 2500 BC. Through the years, the cutting device evolved into the handy toolWe place so much reliance on today. While we in the 21st century take these inventions for granted, our lives would be very different without these indispensable kitchen aids.
Okay, the can and the knife, both very useful tools that you might see in the kitchen. Let's start with the can. In 1810...London resident Peter Durand invented metal cans that would hold and preserve food for long periods of time. So he was a London resident. What does that mean, Carolyn?
Well, it means that he lived in London. He lived in the city of London. And we see that he invented metal cans. It's hard for me to imagine a time when there weren't metal cans to store our food in.
That's right, and they hold your food for long periods of time.It's very true. Sometimes you can store food in a metal can for years and it won't go bad. Foods like beans or corn or things like that, you can put in metal cans. A very useful invention.
It was, and we continue on to see just a little bit of a problem with this invention. The only problem was that people had to use a hammer and chisel to open them. So we had this great way to preserve food and keep it fresh for a long time, but it was very difficult to open a can if you need to use a hammer and chisel.
Well, that seems kind of like a fun challenge to face. If you like working with tools, maybe you like this idea. Next time you have a can, instead of using your can opener, get a hammer and get a chisel and open that can.A hammer, of course, is a tool that you can use. And a chisel, it has a sharp end on one end, and you can use a hammer behind it to try to open something or make a hole in something.
That's right. So the chisel is a flat tool that's mm-hmm. used to carve wood or stone and also to open cans. However, amazingly, it took another 50 years before the can opener was invented by Ezra Warner.So we had cans for 50 years before we had can openers.
Well, I'm grateful for Ezra Warner because I don't have a chisel at home. Let's continue learning about the knife. We read here, many believe the knife is mankind's oldest tool. With the earliest forms made from flint or a glass-like rock, and then from metal around 2500 BC. Wow, so this goes back a long time.
That's right. They think it is our oldest invention, our oldest tool. Mm-hmm. And we see that it was made from flint in one of its earliest forms. So one of the earliest things they used to make knives was flint. Mm-hmm. And flint is a type of hard, gray stone that is good for cutting things.
It's good for cutting things. And if you rub flint and some stones together, then you can also make a fire. That's actually how some people make fires if they are out alone in the wilderness. Have a piece of flint with you. Maybe you can create your own fire. Well, we do see another word in that sentence I just want to talk about. It's the word mankind. What does that mean, Carolyn?
Well, mankind means everyone, the type of people. So mankind is everyone in the world. And here we're talking about the ancestors of mm-hmm. mankind when we were making tools out of flint.
That's right. A long time ago, around 2500 BC. Okay, we continue. Through the years, the cutting device evolved into the handy tool we place so much reliance on today. I like that. The tool is very useful today, and it has evolved or changed a lot over the years. Let's talk about that word reliance. What does this word reliance mean?
Well, reliance means that you rely on something. You depend on it, mm-hmm. or as we mentioned yesterday, you can't do without it. You rely heavily on something. You need it.
That's right. And Carolyn just used a verb form, rely, R-E-L-Y. Usually you see it with the word on. You rely on something, or you rely on somebody. Well, let's continue. While we in the 21st century take these inventions for granted, our lives would be very different without these indispensable kitchen aids. And it's true, I think sometimes we do take many things for granted.
We do, and I see this great word here, indispensable. It's similar to the word reliance, if you rely on something. Mm-hmm. But if something is indispensable, then it is also necessary.
Yep.
You need it. You really can't do without it. Must have this thing.
That's right, because if you dispense of something, that means you throw it away. Maybe it's useless or you don't need it. But if it's indispensable, then of course you need it. Carolyn, you are indispensable, and I don't want to take you for granted.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that, and I certainly don't want to take anything for granted, especially Steve and Ken in the Information Cloud. They have something that they would like to tell us about. Then we can enjoy a review skit and join Michelle in the Language Lab.
Hi, friends. Do you ever assume something will always be available and that it'll always serve a certain function? For example, when you turn on the faucet, do you always assume that water will come out of it?
Well, if you do, you're taking water for granted. When you take something for granted, you assume you'll never lose it.
Right. The verb grant means to allow or give freely. So when you take something for granted, you're assuming that that thing is given to you for free.
And when you make that assumption, you tend not to appreciate that thing. But one day, there may be no water coming out of the faucet, and so we shouldn't take water for granted. What else do we take for granted, Ken?
People. If there is a person you know who cares for you and they're putting an effort to make you a better person, you don't want to take them for granted.
Right. A friend could be taken for granted if you assume that he will always be ready to help you out, even if you aren't always ready to help him.
Or if you're the head of a company, don't take hardworking employees for granted. They should be rewarded for their long and faithful service.
Think about what you might take for granted and start to appreciate it.
一起来看这个片语 take something for granted. Grant 是给予授予。一个别人 grant 给你的东西一定是免费的。所以 take something for granted 就是视为理所当然。今天的课文讲到身在21世纪的我们常常 take these inventions for granted, 把这些发明视为理所当然。这个片语呢除了用在事物也可以用在人身上。 你如果 take someone for granted, 就是不懂得珍惜某人。如果我们一直 take someone for granted, 尤其是我们周遭的人，等到哪一天我们失去了那个人，后悔大概也来不及了。这就是今天的 Info Cloud, 我们下次云端见。
For food, I love to eat.
Me too. And food preparation innovations throughout history have paved the way for safer and easier to make meals.
And that makes eating even easier.
Mm-hmm. Pasteurization was an important food discovery.
Yes, Louis Pasteur destroyed harmful bacteria by heating liquids.
Mm-hmm. Before that, deadly bacteria led to disease and death. Today, food is much safer.
Another helpful invention was refrigeration.
Oh.
It's a great method to preserve and store food.
Right. No kitchen should be without a refrigerator. Full of food.
Yeah. And don't forget the egg carton. Mm. Keeping eggs separated by cardboard was a very useful invention.
Mm-hmm. How true that is. Nobody wants broken eggs.
And how about the can?
Yes. Another useful invention. Metal cans can hold and preserve food for long periods of time.
Cans are so convenient, especially since can openers were invented.
Right. Hey, don't forget about knives, huh? Man's oldest tool.
Yes, don't take them for granted.
Wow, we have a lot of indispensable kitchen aids. Eating has never been easier.
And speaking of eating, what are we waiting for?
Let's get started!
OK, 接下来我们看的是 reliance 这个名词，它的动词是 rely, R-E-L-Y, 依赖，所以名词 reliance 是指依靠或依赖。若是对某个对象的依赖的话，是用 on 这个介系词再加上名词。例如 Tim is already 30, but his reliance on his parents is still very strong. Tim 已经年届30，但是对父母的依赖仍然很深。或者是 excessive reliance on exports affected the region's economy, 对出口的过度依赖影响了这个区域的经济。最后我们看的是 indispensable 这个形容词。Indispensable 是指不可或缺的或者是绝对必要的。例如 after years of hard work, Brenda became indispensable to the company. 经过多年的努力 ,Brenda 对公司而言成为不可或缺的人。它的反义字就是去掉字尾的 IN。Dispensable 是指可以被取代的或可以丢弃的。例如 dispensable razors 是指用过即丢的刮胡刀。And I guess it's time to go back to our teachers.
We've learned a lot about useful food inventions or inventions that you might see around your kitchen that we cannot do without. Well, I do wonder, what is something in your kitchen that you think that you cannot do without? You need it.Carolyn, what do you think?
Well, there are a lot of things in my kitchen that I use every day, but I think the one that I would really hate to be without is my refrigerator. I put a lot of things in my refrigerator, and I can't imagine not having one.
All right, I think a refrigerator is pretty important, too. Also, sometimes there might be 10,000 spoons when all I need is a knife. So I can't do without my silverware. I think it's pretty important. Oh, yeah, and cups.I like to drink water out of those. Well, there are many things that we find useful in our kitchens. And of course, I hope you know how to answer that question in English as well. And come back next time right here at Studio Classroom. See you later.
See you then.
The Adventures of Tom Sawyer by Mark Twain.She left the room. Huck said,
Tom, We can get away if we can find a rope. The window isn't very high up.
Why do you want to get away?
I can't go into a crowd like that, Tom. I'm not going down there.
I'll take care of you,
said Tom, who had seen all sorts of cakes and ice cream in the sitting room. Sid appeared.
What's all this party about, Sid?
Tom asked.
It's one of the widow's parties that she often has. This time it's for the Welshman and his sons, because they saved her from trouble that night.
Well, there's not much harm in that,
said Tom, and he led the way down. Huck followed, very unwillingly. After supper, Mr. Jones stood up. He thanked Mrs. Douglas for the honor she had done him and his sons.
But there's another person here who did more that night to prevent a terrible crime,
the Welshman said. And he told the part that Huckleberry Finn had played that night. The widow spoke, too, about Huck's brave actions. Huck almost forgot the great discomfort of his new clothes in the greater discomfort of being stared at and thanked by everybody. The widow said,
I want to give Huck a home here and have him well educated. Then, when the time comes, I hope I'll have enough money to start him in a business.
It was then that Tom said,
That part of it won't be necessary. Huck won't need the money. Huck's rich.
Nobody laughed, but that was because they all had good manners. But there was a rather uncomfortable silence.
I'll just have to show you,
Tom said. He ran out and came back carrying, with difficulty, the bags of money.
There,
he said.
Half of it's Huck's and half of it's mine.